Yeah, welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Joe has returned from the state of Florida, and he's back in very frigid Tennessee. Welcome back, Joe.
Thanks, but I still have my Capital One Bowl sweatshirt from like 2008 or something like that.
Represent.
Yeah, so still Orlando in my heart. I also have my box of Cheez-Its that I didn't quite polish off. Commemorative box of Cheez-Its.
Yes.
So we can always remember that Iowa-Tennessee bowl game. Ah, what a beauty.
Oh, yeah. What'd you do yesterday in Orlando? The Orlando it's time to fly home day is always an interesting one.
Just
kind of hang out?
Absolute nightmare. I mean, it was an hour to get. I went to the airport about 10 hours before my flight. It was an hour to get just to security. And I tried to fly standby, and I didn't get on. My flight was at 10:30 p.m., but then I got on at 7. And then, since you just asked, so I got, like, C-something. If anybody flies Southwest, you know what I'm talking about. Like,
sure.
They have a crappy seat. But it was still, like, C-19, and I go up there, and there was a woman next to me. It was like, what number are you? C-19. What number are you? C-19. Huh. So I get up there. Nah, this isn't working, sir. I'm sorry. I have to run back to the service desk because they screwed it up.
Jeez.
And then they can't figure out the computer. She's like, I need you to run over here, please. And this woman runs over and gets me on it. C-64, last person on the plane.
Well, that's good.
But early enough to come in today because I don't want to miss Kaharski in here.
Yeah. I mean, it's a spicy day at Vrabel's press conference yesterday.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun to get Kaharski's perspective.
It will be
on that. We got a lot to get into on the program today. The Preds with another win last night against a Chicago Blackhawks team that is truly dreadful. Like,
my
just
goodness.
Watching them play, they are awful. And
does,
I don't feel bad
Connor
for
Bedard
anybody
stink?
No, he's pretty good, but God bless him, he's the only one they got. Like, I'm watching everybody else out there and I'm like, whoo, they're rough. They got beat 8-1 the other night by Dallas. They get shut out last night by the Preds 3-0. I didn't think the Preds were that good last night, but they got the shutout 3-0. So we'll get into that a little bit later in the show as well. Caroline Fenton joining us at 7:00. Paul Kuharski from paulkuharski.com with us in the second half of the show. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Speaking of the Titans, spicy day at the press conference yesterday from Mike Vrabel. A lot of different topics were covered. Vrabel made it pretty clear, kind of like early in the press conference, Joe, that a lot of the questions obviously were about off-season stuff, like reflective questions, for lack of a better term, because, to be honest with you, who really cares about this game coming up on Sunday against Jacksonville? And Vrabel didn't much want to go down that road. But it got to the topic of winning and losing, and Vrabel, was looking ahead to the Jacksonville game earlier in the press conference and made the comment, basically said, we need to win for a lot of reasons. So Gentry Estes from the Tennessean was just basically trying to follow up to that quote that he had, said, all right, well, you said you need to win for a lot of reasons. Like, what did you mean by that? Like, what are some of those reasons that are kind of on your mind? And he didn't really get the whole question out before Vrabel went off a little bit yesterday. Here's what Mike Vrabel had to say at his press conference.
Mike said, man, you need to win for a lot of reasons.
Expand on. Because it sucks to lose, Gentry.
Trey Avery need to show you anything?
Did you have another thought or no? I'm just curious.
Why?
It sucks.
Is that
losing? Awful. That's why I want to win. Because you don't sleep. You want to win for the players that bust their tail. That's it. You know what I mean? It's not about, hey, we'll go into the offseason with a good note. Nobody knows what you did on January 7th or 8th or 6th in April when you come back. But, you want to see, just it all come together. And just put four quarters together. Win a game like we talked about. You come in here, well, you close game. Yeah, we feel the same way. In that game the other day, we got to put ourselves into a competitive game where it's, back and forth, and there's some field position, and then you score, and you take care of the football. Sorry about my language.
So that was Mike Vrabel. at his press conference yesterday. It sucks to lose. It effing sucks to lose. And then after that, Joe, I thought that was one of the best answers I've ever heard Vrabel give after that. Yeah. It was pretty good.
That was good. So are we mad at Vrabel? Are we mad at Gentry? I'll tell you who I'm mad at. You know who I'm mad at? John Glennon. Hey, Glennon, calm the hell down with your Trey Avery question. Like, can you wait a second? Like, a dude is trying to give an emotional answer, and you're, Trey Avery, what do you think about his play lately? Well, shut up, Glennon! God, let the man speak. I mean, even Vrabel's like, please stop asking me about Trey Avery for a minute. Gentry, another thought? I really need to get in this Trey Avery question right now. Good Lord, Glennon. There's my rant for the day.
I did love that.
Now, in fairness, excuse me, Mike. I know this is your best answer in years, but Trey Avery, how's he looking out there?
In fairness to Glennon, Vrabel said that it sucks Gentry, and then he looked away from Gentry and was taking the question from Glennon, and then I guess thought better of it mid-question and looked back at Gentry. Did you have another thought? That may be my favorite part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
Well, did you have another thought, Gentry? What exactly were you going for there?
Oh, God.
I loved
stuff.
It.
Yeah, so the reaction here, it's like, and I asked that because I noticed some people mad at Vrabel about it. And there were people tweeting at us like, Vrabel's always a jerk to you and PK and Gentry and Jared or whatever. And then I saw A to Z Sports is like ripping on Gentry for the question. And I'm like, yeah.
He didn't really get a chance to ask one. that's the whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting question. Like, okay, what are all the reasons? Yeah, and that's the thing. There is one reason, which is what Vrabel said, right? Well, we've been talking about that. It's like these people, this is what they do. Like all they do all day long goes into 17 days where we all watch it. You think they don't want to, like, do it well?
Yeah.
I mean, we can all play fantasy football over here and mock draft and all that. That's great. Fun for us. I mean, I'm loving this, you know? Yeah, A to Z Sports says, fair or foul to ask Mike Vrabel a follow-up question to, quote, why it's important to win in Week 18. But again, what they're getting wrong is the lot of reasons is what he was saying. What are the lot of reasons? That's a good, yeah. Give me the reasons.
Yeah.
He gave you the reason.
He did.
But Mike, Trey Avery, though, can I just interject here?
Mike, have you noticed that every team throws as many footballs as possible in the general direction of Trey Avery?
So basically,
yes, I have noticed that.
Yeah, so that's basically much ado about nothing. It was like, and I saw a lot of people say this too. It was good. It was a good, honest answer.
I agree.
It sucks. How could it not suck?
Yeah, I mean, look, I thought from an answer perspective in like a press conference setting, which from Vrabel generally is pretty brutal to watch and or listen to. That was one of the better ones I think I've heard from him. Once you got past like the explosion of anger directed towards Gentry, I did love the apology of the language toward the end of it there. It was pretty good from Vrabel. But I thought it was telling about where, you know, his mindset's at right now. Like, it's not necessarily surprising. We've talked about this, as you just brought up. Like, obviously, Vrabel doesn't like losing. And nobody at that level of professional football enjoys what's happened to the Titans this year. If you're any level of competitor whatsoever, I don't know, maybe, you know, Vic Beasley back in the day wouldn't have cared if they were 5-11 or 5-12, 6-11, wherever they end up being. But for the most part, it eats at you when you're this level of competitor and the season's gone as poorly as it has. So I don't think it's necessarily anything new we learned about Vrabel, but I do think that in a press conference setting, that was on the handful of best answers I think I can remember from Mike Vrabel.
Yeah, I mean, usually the best stuff from him would be after an emotional game, and really, I mean, probably after losses.
Yeah, probably.
Or like when they traded A.J. Brown, he was really mad, he had some good answers. Oh, thank you. Why don't you tell me some more stuff that I said previously? You know, like he has, but usually like those.
That was also a good one.
Midweek pressers are tough, you know. Not a lot going on. Although we've had some good ones. What are you doing with your hands? You look like an idiot. Hey, Jared, talk like a dude. Actually, this year's been pretty good.
It has been. It's been.
We should appreciate this year a little bit more. It's not great on the football front, but a little bit that makes for a little bit better pressers, I guess.
I guess so. Skyler on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, Vrabel's telling the truth. He's a competitor, and I'm sure it's driving him nuts to lose so much. Now, I don't know what to think about this past year. LOL. This is from Skyler on the text line.
What is that?
Conflicted. Vrabel has won Skyler over a little bit with the passion in his answer yesterday.
I mean, has anyone seriously wondered about his passion?
I mean, I guess we get questions about his sideline demeanor all the time.
That's
so, yeah.
True. I mean, some people think he's probably like actually an alien from another galaxy who's infiltrated the Titans. Yeah, I mean, you know, he hates to lose. He's a passionate guy, you know. I mean, that's – now, he also is at times a fun guy, which I thought was really, really made for quite a day yesterday because – first of all, good for him because Ashley Farrell, who's a proud Missouri grad,
yes.
And Vrabel apparently made a bet over the Missouri Ohio State game. You see,
I saw that. Yeah.
And Vrabel wore the little tiger thing.
Yeah.
So I posted something about it. So let me read this quote to you. Well, first of all, Kyle Tucker's like maybe Gentry should have worn the mascot hat, a mascot head. Which is pretty good, but now I can't find the answer. But basically, someone got really, really mad about it, and I'm like, yeah, here we go.
Did you worry more about winning?
Yeah, no, seriously. And actually, this is Sam Smith. This is someone who, he deleted it. No, look at that, he deleted it when someone responded, "Lighten up, Francis." GIF from Stripes to him. But basically, he was like, "This is why they've been losing. They don't take anything seriously." I'm like, oh my God,
that's it. They nailed it.
I mean, I'll tell you what, I don't think there's that many coaches that would agree to wear that particular little. If anybody hasn't seen it,
Tiger get up.
I mean, it really is something that a 4-year-old would wear.
It would.
So I say kudos. I say kudos on both things because this is a Vrabel love fest.
Trey from Antioch says Joe's Glennon impersonation sounding a little bit too much like Sylvester the Cat, but I must agree it's spot on.
pardon me, Coach Vrabel. I went to UVA.
We got to save this for him. There's no way he's listening because wakes up at 10. Oh, we got to save this segment for him. This is just for you, John.
615-737-1025. More thoughts on Trey Avery. We need more Trey Avery discussion. We'll take your reaction to Vrabel, his press conference. There was another underrated moment of the press conference yesterday, which I thoroughly enjoyed. We'll get into that coming up next as well. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
You talk about the good looks at it. Kind of, isn't it a little bit like the airport, like the planes are supposed to land safely? And when they do, it's not the thing that you get excited about. It's when there's a crash that it's news. Like the plays where they block effectively is what they're supposed to do. Do you spend a lot of time on the plays where they block correctly, giving them credit for it, or is it about the ones where they don't?
I think it's a balance. I think you have to continue to show, and I appreciate such a very wordy, long, drawn-out question.
You're welcome, Coach Vrabel.
That was Vrabel and Kuharski yesterday at the press conference.
What a cast of characters we got around here.
That was a nice visual that Kuharski laid out there of, you know, when the plane lands safely. That's what it's supposed to do. When it crashes, that's when it makes news.
Yeah. So
he equated that to the offensive line.
Kuharski is equating Andre Dillard's pass blocking to plane crashes. I mean, it's bad. Is it that bad? My goodness.
I appreciated it. That was good. Yeah. Good visual there.
I did like later in the answer, Vrabel did the, you know, it's not like we're throwing a pizza party for the good ones.
It's a good press conference.
This
yesterday.
Is pretty good. We're finishing strong, folks. I haven't been to one in a while. I miss it.
Well,
I'll go over there today.
Maybe another shot at your hands could be coming at some point. Who knows?
Could be. I'll have to do something interesting with them. to beat up Glennon and Kaharski.
William from Madison says, Joe sounds like Dr. Peabody from Rocky and Bullwinkle.
God, I think you're right. You guys both know that reference, yeah. too? Wow. Yeah.
Well, Coach, Trey Avery, what's the PFF grade on Trey Avery?
Hey, Glennon gets credit, too, because, I mean, there wasn't a single second of silence after Vrabel stopped talking before Glennon got in there for a Trey Avery question. Yeah. I respect it.
Just, you got to get that in, John. Got to get it in. We all, that Trey Avery piece is just, the people need it. I can't just rip Glennon the whole show, right?
Sure you can.
Lay off Glennon.
It'll be good. So yesterday's press conference was not some grand takeaway to you either way, that either Vrabel loves being here right now and he's impassioned and he's motivated to get this thing turned around, or he's fed up and he's ready to head out, because I saw that discourse on Titans Twitter yesterday.
Oh, really?
It was fun.
Oh, I didn't. I missed that one. Okay, so because he snapped a couple times at some,
he's ready to leave.
That means he's ready to leave. Okay, yeah. So then he goes to New England. I'm sure it'll be peaches and cream up there.
Sure, it will be.
Yeah. I wouldn't take too much away from this other than, Vrabel's fed up. And hey, again, no one's sitting here saying Vrabel's not part of the issue or not. Not partially culpable.
I'm Which he did say that. Yesterday, put it on him. He's cool with that.
Yeah. There was what the heck is the name of the show? ESPN Before Us.
Unsportsmanlike?
Yes, Unsportsmanlike. What did I think? It was un-what? I mean, I don't know. But
it's on the TV screen.
Yeah,
right
now. Thanks. Well, there you go. Well, actually, the guy that's shown on the screen is exactly – an interesting little conversation they had, which I'm sure Jared will have like an hour on this today. But the whole Vrabel, they were going through like wild scenarios, almost reckless speculation, including like Nick Sirianni. You think Nick Sirianni could be in trouble in Philly?
I would be surprised by that.
I would too. Now, I do think that Shane Steichen is missed. I mean, it, based on what he's done with Indy, I mean, I would say he's probably missed. But
Jonathan Gannon might be too.
Yeah, and that's right. They eventually went to Vrabel and the trade and all this stuff. But interesting point Evan Cohen made, and Chris Caney did the thing that just drives some people crazy, which is that's insane. Vrabel will have a job that day. He's one of the best coaches in the NFL. Some people around here, some people right here, cannot stand that. But that's it's pretty much automatic. But Evan Cohen had an interesting comparison, which is. He said, I remember when Michigan fans wanted to fire Jim Harbaugh. And for people who don't remember, they wanted to fire Jim Harbaugh. And a lot of people would say, well, who are you going to get who's better? Now, again, I'm not saying this because, I think sometimes coaching changes do work. And there are good coaches, and different styles that maybe it's a new direction. Sometimes that's the right move.
Sure.
But I think it's an interesting point. Interesting to equate Harbaugh and Vrabel in that way. And it was the right, obviously for Michigan, it's working out well. So, Super Bowl 2027? There you go.
Maybe so.
First year of the
I'm
stadium.
Trying to think of, the example in professional football where there was a streak as bad as this one has been for the Titans, that a team stuck with a coach and came out of it on the other side. Like, it's not like this is Vrabel's only body of work, and that's – why we're having this discussion, because there were years of good football and in some cases overachieving football before this. So if this is all it was, this wouldn't be that difficult of a decision. But there were several years of good football and overachieving football at times before this. So I'm trying to think of the example of a professional football coach just going through a brutal stretch, the team sticking with them, and them coming out of it on the other side.
Yeah, it's a good question. Nothing comes immediately to mind. Like, Tom Landry struggled, I know, a lot of years early, early, and then obviously they were consistently good, but that's not the same thing. It's like someone who had a good run and then a really bad couple years, but it didn't cost them the job. I'm sure there are examples. If anybody has any, I'm all ears, but yeah, nothing pops right into the mind.
Well, you just don't usually see it. Like, usually when you have the good run, unless it's like you've won, I guess, multiple Super Bowls, you have the good run, and then the downturn comes, and usually that results in the coach being fired. Like, it's usually how it goes in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, actually, it's funny because one guy – I'm sure Vrabel would love this comparison, but Wayne Fonts of the Lions. I bring that to a press conference. Mike, if Wayne Fonts were trying to fly a plane, do you think he would crash it?
When you get done talking about Trey Avery, I've got a Wayne Fonts question for you.
But actually, I mean, it's interesting because, like, Wayne – God, now that I think about it, he was beloved because, of course, everybody there wants to believe. Actually, he was kind of like the Dan Campbell of the late 80s. But they got to the NFC Championship game. They got the one playoff win that they've ever had since 1957.
Yeah.
They won their division a couple times. They had a good run. They never got over the hump. And then they started to fade a little bit for a couple years, and he got fired.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of how it goes.
My goodness, Mike Vrabel is the new Wayne Fonts. I'm so sorry. Again, it's all the 6 o'clock hour. We just this show. This is, we're just talking to ourselves, right?
Well, I mean, that's what makes this so interesting, though. And you know, that's even just from the coaching perspective, like purely being the coach. And then you add in the roster responsibilities that Vrabel has, and that's I agree with you. Like, my concerns with Vrabel moving forward here are way less to do with his ability as a coach than they are how concerned I am that they're going to pick the right people and make the right decisions in free agency or in the draft. Because that's what's so important here is you have to make the right roster decisions. And, you know, people want to absolve Vrabel of, like, basically everything that happened, you know, pre-Rand Carthon getting here with J-Rob. And, you know, when J-Rob got fired last year, it was all like, well, thank God, Vrabel's in charge now and he can go make some of these decisions. And one thing that we kept bringing up on the show was, like, do we really think that Vrabel has been, like, just 0% involved with the decisions that they've made personnel-wise to this point? Obviously, he didn't like to trade A.J. Brown, so that was good. And that was a check in the positive for Mike Vrabel to not want to trade A.J. Brown. But that, to me, remains the biggest concern here is Vrabel, Carthon, this collaboration, whatever it is, how much do you actually trust them to make the right decisions moving forward here?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, it's just this offseason. We need to get to the offseason.
We're almost there.
Until we get to the offseason and we know that Vrabel's in place and we know he's not fired, we know he's not traded, then it just becomes this enormous offseason of – and, you know, it's like an enormous offseason. They're going to make a lot of moves. There's going to be a lot of people who come in. And just, I mean, last year when they got Andre Dillard, like, hey, I get that, right?
Yeah.
No idea. No idea how you know what the outcomes are going to be. So really, the outcomes are going to find out next fall. But that offseason and then what it shows us on the field next fall. I mean that is probably Vrabel's fork in the road.
I got a texter going back to like my Vrabel question earlier of like what coaches in the NFL have had some good success and then gone through a pretty bad downturn and kept their job and kept going. Did have a texter say Jeff Fisher early with the Titans. Now, he was with the Oilers. He was basically 8-8 for like 3 or 4 years in a row. And then the Titans came to Nashville and made the switch to the Titans at Adelphia Coliseum. And it was 13-3. I think they were 7-9. Then they were back in the AFC title game the year after that. And then McNair won the league MVP the year after that. And then the downturn started with, you know, McNair leaving eventually, Mason leaving. You know, obviously, you know, Samari Roll, like all those guys were out. So they eventually built it back up after they drafted Vince Young. And Kerry Collins took over starting quarterback, and they got back in there at 13-3. That's not a bad example, Jeff Fisher.
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly like 04 and 05, right?
They're
you
bad.
You go, that's a combined 9-23 for Jeff Fisher. Everybody's like 8-8, you know, and obviously had the three straight. And he had in 09, he had an 8-8 also, but and okay, in 06, he had an 8-8 also, but
there's a lot of 8-8s in there.
But yeah, so basically, once you lose to the Patriots in the playoffs in 03, you went 12-4. The year before that, you lost to the Raiders in the AFC title game, and those 2 years to survive that's a pretty good example. And also, I mean, my understanding is that's basically a power struggle win, right?
Yeah. Yep.
That was a power struggle win, if you want to call it that,
yep,
between him and Floyd Reese.
So it's a Titans thing is what we discovered here.
Interesting. All right, Vrabel, you're not the new Wayne Fonts. You're the new Jeff Fisher.
615-737-1025, our phone number. Coming up next, it's time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. Nick Kieser is in the questions chair. We'll do that. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
We all have choices to make. Like right now. It's The Choice Is Yours, built by Jared Companies. You have a choice, so when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jared Companies. For more, visit JaredCompaniesInc.com. The choice is yours, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the week. Time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. Brought to you by Jared Companies, Commercial Plumbing HVAC Division, Preventative Maintenance, and Commercial Services. Jared Companies, above and beyond industry standards. Presenting the new frontier in building maintenance, Jarrett Company's Commercial Plumbing and HVAC Division redefine industry standards with exceptional service. Nick Kieser is in the questions chair today. We encourage your participation, as always, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Two sports questions, two non-sports questions. Nick, the floor is yours.
Yeah, good morning. So, sports or non-sports?
Let's go sports.
Okay. First sports question. If you could go back to college, and Lord knows I want to go back to college, if you could play a sport knowing that there was money to make in NIL, what sport would you play?
Knowing that there was money to make in NIL, what sport would you play?
Knowing that you would be playing, so assuming you have the actual talent, what sport would you play?
You hooping, Rex Road?
Yeah, it's got to be hoops, right? I'm not getting blown up on the football field.
Why not?
Yeah, it's okay. I'll hoop.
Mike Tyson's out there waiting for you.
I'm not going to box.
I think you'd be a good boxer.
Do you? I do have reach. Reach has helped me at times. But yeah, I would play basketball. You know, I would think that would be, I mean, that is probably the second best NIL sport.
Right? I agree. Yeah.
So, I got some game. Got some old man game.
I play a little golf.
Ooh.
Be on the golf team.
I could see it.
Yeah.
That's good.
I'd be golf. Now, it's not, NIL money. I don't know how many golfers are out there getting a ton of NIL money. You can get some. I don't need a ton. Just give me some.
You know, if you can get on the tour, which I know is a different discussion, but if you can just get on the tour, like the equipment endorsements that are automatic alone.
Yeah.
You could never make a cut and make a lot of money.
Well, that's the thing, and not on a team, so it's all mine. Like, just give me the money. I don't need anybody else. We don't need some collective sharing it with everybody else. Just give it to me.
Yes, yes.
Golf.
So, if obviously I did not play hockey, we all know that I would pick that. If I did not play hockey, I would probably do baseball.
Okay.
I always thought growing up I would be able to play baseball. My friends always asked me to play. And I covered baseball a lot in college, and it was a lot of fun. The guys were awesome, but baseball would be my choice.
Did you ever play baseball? Or was that a
your friends asked you to play, and you just weren't allowed to go out and play?
I'm not playing with you all.
I stuck to playing hockey, and all my buddies were like, why are you still playing in the spring? And I was like, well, I'm playing roller hockey.
You're around, man.
Well, it was roller hockey. It wasn't ice hockey. So, but I still had ice lessons.
Committed to the game.
Yeah, yes. I was.
I respect that.
I was growing up. I was very committed. All right, for our first non-sports question of the morning, what would be your non-sports job? So we all work in sports journalism, the three of us on this show. If you didn't work in sports journalism, what would your job be? And it could still be sports, I guess, but what would your job be if it was not sports journalism?
NBA player?
You could do this. That's from college to NBA, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm making the NIL.
A lot of hooping for Rex Road going on.
Why can't I take it to the league?
I doubt it.
Give me my COVID year, I can get into my 30s.
Yeah, you and Draymond.
Playing, there you go.
Dynamic duo.
I don't know.
Draymond's get back coach.
Yeah, exactly.
No, he'd be Joe's water boy back in the day.
Maybe.
I have told the story about, we don't have time. I'll tell the story again about how Izzo had a media practice and my media team destroyed Draymond's media team that he was coaching, and he was really mad. It was great, but we don't have time for that right now. I don't know. That's the thing, is I don't have a good answer. I've always said this, like, if I wasn't doing this, I would suck at, I mean, well, I'd probably suck at this too. But
that's how I felt.
Yeah.
I don't have a great answer. Robbie?
Youth pastor. That's okay. What I'd be.
There you go.
Yeah. I could see that. Robbie doing
his. I mean, I've kind of done that part time anyway. But
Joe,
youth pastor.
That is true. Joe, I don't know if you've seen him on TikTok or not. I highly doubt it. But Robbie will post.
Rex Rowe's not on TikTok. I can guarantee you that.
But
do I need to get on for this?
Maybe, well, so.
Robbie has his little lessons on there. It's awesome. I love it. It's great.
Thank you.
My job would be, I know I'm, you guys didn't pick sports ones, but I am going to pick one. I would rather be a coach or a scout.
Okay.
I always thought that was the most intriguing part about an organization, for me at least. So that's what I
The coaching or the
do.
Scouting?
I would say scouting.
Okay.
Scouting. I think that would be something I would fancy if I was not writing about a sport.
I like that.
I'd like to do either of those two.
Yeah.
So I'll join your answer.
Second sports question. If you could have a resolution for a sports team in Tennessee this year in 2024, what team would it be and what would your resolution be? I can go first if you guys need.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Okay. I have been paying a little bit closer of attention to Vanderbilt women's basketball just because of how much Jake Lyman's talked to me about it. And they're 13-1 right now. So my resolution for them would be finish out the season strong. It's a historical season so far. It's been fun to watch them play. Caitlin Clark is obviously tearing it up over there for herself and the sport. But I think Vanderbilt, if they play well, I'd like to see them go to the NCAA tournament, honestly. They are playing really well. So that would be my
off to a great start in that regard.
Resolution for them, yes, for sure.
Yeah.
13-1. I guess just what comes to mind is the resolution for the Titans is to not have the worst tackle in the NFL for a third year in a row.
It's a good resolution.
There's my resolution.
That could be your job, and that's why they still stink, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, just don't be as bad as you can be at left tackle in the NFL for a third year in a row with a third different person.
My resolution would be for Tennessee men's basketball, whatever your routine is by the time March comes around in the tournament, just change it up.
Flip
whatever it is.
Completely.
Just change it.
Yeah.
Change it from last year, you mean, or like whatever they're
just
doing
in general.
This year.
Like whatever shoes you wear, if there's like a March pair of underwear you have, whatever it is, let's try something different this year and see if it works. See if it works.
Have someone other than Rick coach the team during March?
No. Okay. He can coach, but let's try to shake things up a little bit, mojo wise.
Reigning,
just heading in there.
Reigning Sweet 16 team.
Well, that's great.
Well, I mean, it's not bad.
It's not bad.
You know.
It's not the goal.
No, it's not the goal. Of course not.
So let's try to change something up to get to the goal.
Okay.
That's my resolution.
Could be better for them for sure. All right. Last quick question here, non-sports. So what would your theme song be when making an entrance in any building? You could be going into the YMCA, a Taco Bell, this building, whatever it is. What would your entrance music be?
The walk-up song. Keezer, you go first. You've thought about this.
I would do the first one that came to mind, at least for me, was Tom Sawyer by Rush.
Okay.
I love that. And the only reason that came
Hell
to mind
yes.
so quickly was because when I used to go to the Predators games growing up, that would be one of the first songs that I would hear when I got there in the building. So that would be my song, Tom Sawyer by Rush.
There you go.
It's a great, great pick. Yeah, you know, this is one of those things that made me jealous, you know, because, like, I would have loved to have been able to have, like, a walk-up song, like high school baseball or something, you know?
Yep.
All these kids have the walk-up songs. You know, it's too long, but I just think that – so if I can have an extended period of time, what is happening outside? If I can have an extended period of time, give me For Those About to Rock by AC/DC.
Okay.
That's a great –
the right parts of that would be good.
That's
yeah.
a great, you know, lead in. It's just a little bit long is the only problem.
Mine would be Time for Me to Fly, REO Speedwagon. Let's get in there, man.
Wow. Okay.
Be awesome.
Coming off the top rope with REO Speedwagon.
Yeah,
I'm trying to remember the beginning of that.
Beginning's a little. We'd have to speed it up a little bit.
Okay. All right. Wow.
But we get there.
A little REO.
Once you get there, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good walk-up
song. I'm all for some REO Speedwagon around here.
I don't think we chose anything that was like after. 1986.
Yeah. Good for us. I like Jared from Spring Hill. Return to the Mac is a that's a good one. Return to the Mac would be a pretty good one.
Very nice. This has been The Choice is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every Wednesday morning at 6:30. Brought to you by Jarrett Companies, Commercial Plumbing and HVAC Division, Preventative Maintenance and Commercial Services. Jarrett Companies, above and beyond industry standards. Jarrett Companies, Commercial Plumbing and HVAC Division will revolutionize the way you experience plumbing and HVAC maintenance. From preventative maintenance like filter changes and coil cleaning to swift, effective repairs, their specialized local team ensures your facilities operate without a hitch, no matter the size or function. Coming up next, we'll get into the Predators' win last night against the Chicago Blackhawks. Blackhawks are terrible. Just terrible. We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Forsberg gets it back. Here is Josi, right side. Given down low. Now across, O'Reilly scores! The Predators take a 2-0 lead, and they still have plenty of power play time remaining.
Preds get it done last night, 3-0 against the Chicago Blackhawks. Juuse Saros' second shutout of the season, 22nd of his career, and the Preds with two important points last night against a Blackhawks team that is absolute cheeks, Joe Rexroad. Watching them play yesterday, I talked to Connor Bedard yesterday morning. They're going through it right now. A little bit of a struggle out there in Chicago. I think they're 11-24 and like 2 now, something like that. Not very good.
Yeah. So
they're going to get
How are their like how's their attendance been? You know, I saw the thing.
It's been pretty good.
The Blackhawks attendance has been good just to see Connor.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you wonder if that lasts, you know.
It's a good question. Well, when they win the draft lottery again and it's Bedard and Macklin Celebrini out there and then they go out in free agency and sign like, you know, Stamkos. I'm sure the tickets will be rolling
off
next
year. Yeah, exactly. It's all lining up for the Black Eyes. But for now, enjoy their cheeksness.
They're bad. They're really bad. You know, Saros, you get the shutout. I think he had 21 saves. And I think through two periods last night, the Hawks had like 13 shots on goal or whatever it was. That could be a pretty hard game to get a shutout in just because like there's so much time where you're not seeing a lot of pucks. And Saros, you know, he even talked about it after the game last night. He's a guy that likes to see some rubber during the game. You know, when you're facing 25, 26, 27 shots, I mean, you don't want to get peppered all game long. But when you're
steady, active, works good, a steady workload,
he kind of likes it. You know, he went through stretches in that game where he didn't see a shot for 7 or 8 minutes. They kept Connor Bedard off the score sheet entirely. No goals, no assists, no shots for Connor Bedard last night, which is hard to do. So I thought the first period, Preds looked pretty good. You know, they were dictating the flow of the game. Nyquist scores the goal, which he's on an absolute heater right now. So, good call by you. And Preds picked a click last night. You're up to 10. So,
yep,
good for
you. Thank you. Thank you.
So, he's continuing to play well. They had an opportunity to probably add another goal or two, and they didn't do it. Second period, I didn't think the Preds were very good. They were just kind of floating around out there. And it got – there were a couple moments in the third – where it got a little hairy, where they had, you know, Blackhawks had a couple of good looks in the slot, and either Saros made the save or somebody made a shot block, and it was really good. And then you get a 5-on-3 power play, and Forsberg didn't do really anything last night for about 52 minutes. And then the last 5 minutes of the game, he was an absolute beast out there, and he drew a penalty, made a great pass across the crease to O'Reilly for the goal. And then Evangelista with the empty netter. It's a good win. Like I said it yesterday morning, kind of looking at the schedule this week. You got Chicago. You got Calgary coming up tomorrow. You need to win both of these. And a good start by the Predators yesterday. Wasn't a great game played by them by any stretch of the imagination, but get the win and then move on. You got Dallas coming up this weekend on the road.
Yeah, take care of that business. Get a little momentum going in the home building. And that was the point I was going to make. And I hate when I see something, I find it interesting, and then I forget where it came from. But someone put up the attendance, NHL home attendance and percentage of capacity actually occupied, and the Preds are like right around the top of the league.
Yep.
Do you feel like it's been – does that match the atmosphere that you feel like you've seen?
Probably not. I mean, I think it's been good. I don't know that it's been just electric in there on a nightly basis. I mean,
has it been that packed though?
Yeah, it's been packed. I mean, last night there were a lot of Hawks fans in there, sure. But it's been packed. Yeah, I'd say for the most part, it's been full crowds,
which is different from last year.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, I think the fan base is refreshed heading into this year, and you know, we've talked about the changes and the need for changes and all those things. I think you're seeing a payoff in that. Number one, the kind of the difference in regime here, the fan base was ready for that. And number two, they've been better than I think most people thought they'd be. Like they're in a playoff spot right now. Since basically the middle of November, they've been one of the best teams in the league, and that's going on a month and a half right now. So this last month and a half has been a lot of fun. Like it's been fun to watch them play, and it hasn't always been perfect. Like last night, I would not describe as a fun hockey game. Like it was largely pretty boring for the most part, and then the Preds kind of got their stuff together at the end of the game and closed it out, which was good to see. But they're finding different ways to win right now, and what's been, I think, the most encouraging thing is when they've dropped a few, they've not let that turn into like some big slide that I feel like a lot of people just think have been coming at some point for the Preds, and they've not allowed that to happen yet.
They haven't. I mean, they really haven't had a bad stretch since early, real early. Yeah.
And even then, like, they were playing okay, and they just couldn't – either they couldn't protect a lead or they'd have, like, five plays in a game that were just brutal that ended up being the difference. But, yeah, like, they've avoided the disastrous stretch. And when you can do that in an 82-game season and you can end losing streaks pretty quickly, that's how you end up in a playoff spot. And that's where they are right now. And, look, it's getting interesting. You know, we're still not halfway in the regular season. So there's a ton left to go here and a ton that can happen. But, you know, Colorado, Winnipeg, and Dallas are right there at the top of the division. They're all going to be there. You look at the wild card race, and the Preds are number one wild card. Arizona's number two. And Edmonton's starting to churn up behind everybody now.
Yep. And Seattle's on a total heater,
they're
too.
They're on a heater. And, you know, Edmonton, Connor McDavid put up 5 points last night, and he's putting up like three a game right now. And if he's going to keep doing that, they're going to get back in the wild card race here. So you got to hold them off
by Seattle. Because, I mean, Seattle has won five in a row. They've won 7-1-2.
Yeah. I mean, they've figured some things out, and they've played a little bit better defensively. By the way, Tolvanen. Nice goal in the Winter Classic the other day. Redirection in front of the net. So he's playing well. That's good.
Forsberg's the floor.
But that's, yeah. I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Never forget.
Like if you're the Preds right now, if I'm looking behind me, the team that you're trying to hold off, Arizona, Seattle, St. Louis, Calgary, Minnesota, that's kind of where I draw the line after that. But yeah, those are the teams you got to hold off. Because I think Edmonton, as bad as they were to begin the year, and as much as I still don't trust their goaltending, they're too talented to miss the playoffs. They're going to get back in it.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, that's the thing. So you expect that. I think the Kings, you know, are pretty good.
They are.
So, you know, you start looking. I mean, how much do you buy the Coyotes? Is, you know, Minnesota has kind of, you know, they've lost three in a row now. I mean, you can see where they can get in there, but now the Kraken coming on too. It's going to be jumbled.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a tight race down to the end of the season here. And look, I think when it's all said and done, the Predators, if they're going to get in, it's going to be in a wild card spot. So you gotta try to hold some people off if that's what it's going to be. Brian on the text line says, comical moment during the Preds game, Will Levis and several other Titans players were shown on the Jumbotron, and someone shouted, he's still alive, last night.
Well, Penalty Box Radio had a great tweet, too. The best protection he's had all year, the glass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim Diamond says, Will Levis at the game with a couple of Titans teammates. Smart move sitting on the glass so that no opponents can come up the middle and sack him tonight.
There you go. See, same idea. Yeah. So, Alex.
Yeah, it's Skoronski on his left. Josh Wiley on his right. Will Levis looked like he was having a good time last night.
Yeah, good for him.
He moved around well.
No drinking Bud Light through a catfish?
No, yeah, I didn't see any of that.
Guzzling beer out of the butt of a catfish like Taylor Lewan likes to do?
I don't think so. A lot of celebrities last night. Will Levis in the house. Jelly Roll was in the house for a proposal in the arena last night.
But not his own.
Not his own.
Yeah. Someone else
just helping
proposal.
With a proposal.
Just helping, yeah.
Yeah.
And she said yes?
She did.
Okay.
A lot of stuff going on at Bridgestone last night.
So, yeah, that's the thing. You can have – if you have a nice, boring game, but you win 3-0, you get a shutout,
yeah.
You beat a hated division rival, and you get a little bit of extra entertainment. It's not bad.
Mike says, Blackhawks are exactly like the Spurs in the NBA. Both have generational players surrounded by bums where even makes them look bad. This is from Mike from Gallatin.
That's a pretty good comparison.
I don't know if they're Spurs bad, but they're pretty bad.
Who's gonna be better individually 15 years from now, Wemby or Bedard?
Man, that's a good question. They did this thing together a couple weeks ago, where I guess the Spurs came into Chicago, and on the off day they filmed the thing with him and Bedard, and the difference in size between Wembanyama and Bedard is freaking hilarious. Like he looks like his child.
Should get Wemby and Saros together. Arvidsson.
Rocco Grimaldi.
Yeah, there. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Even like without anybody standing next to him, he looks like he's 12.
I'll go Wembanyama, but I think it'll be close.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think the upside's a little higher for him because I could see it just being ridiculous at some point, but I'm more certain that Bedard's going to be like a great player. I mean, you know, Wembanyama, he's pretty freaking good. But I still do worry about the skinniness sometimes.
So you going Bedard?
I mean, Bedard's a safer pick, I think.
Okay. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Caroline Fenton. A lot going on in college football. We'll get her thoughts on that. Make sure you tune in to 93.3 Classic Hits tonight for MTSU men's basketball. The Blue Raiders are at home facing Reinhardt with pregame beginning at 6 o'clock, tip-off at 6:30. Coverage also available on the 93.3 Classic app and at 93.3ClassicHits.com. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.